So we had to always be discerning what ladder we're climbing. And if it's the fact that, like, it's not my ladder, well, climb on down. Get on the next ladder. Let that experience help you on your way. There's got to be an outlook on life. You know, one of the favorite quotes that I like to hold on to is that your attitude, not your aptitude, will determine your altitude. And my kids hate it when I say this. And, you know, at first they're like, what does that mean? And then, of course, when I explain it to them, they realize, oh. And now it is that time for the cheesy intro line in 3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Fitness Line Down podcast, where I am your host and owner extraordinaire, Corey Kripe. Okay, so today, I hope that everyone out there has got their seatbelts fastened, their seats and their tray tables in the upright position. Maybe even some helmets. You might need some helmets on. It's going to be a bumpy ride today. I got this enthusiasm that I just can't seem to settle down. I've got some things on my chest that I need to take off. And, you know, I'd be towing a few lines here, and it's possible that I could get fired. Who knows? But wait a sec. I own the business. Which actually leads me to another just quick conversation I had today with a client. As I always try to make each session jovial and colorful. I think that's a good word for it. You know, I was talking about the fact that I had to talk about so-and-so in the session. Like, I had to coach this certain exercise in a certain way or else I would get fired. And one of the clients said, well, aren't you the boss? I mean, and I said, yes, no, not really, because they're the boss, right? All the people that pay to come to Fitness Line Down are kind of the boss. You know, they dictate to some degree what happens. Now, it might not be that they run the day-to-day operations, but with their memberships, they could definitely tell us if we're fired because they'll leave. And if we upset enough people and don't do things the way that we should and don't follow through with what we say we're going to do and we start losing clients, well, then we're in essence fired. So it's kind of funny how that goes. Even though I'm in charge, I am not even close to being in charge. And isn't that true for most of like every part of my life? So here we are. And I've been thinking a little bit about just the industry in itself. You know, we're about to celebrate 10 years this year of Fitness Line Down, which is an amazing feat. And then just my time in this fitness industry. One of our newer clients asked me this week, how long have I been doing this for? And I had my knee-jerk reflex response was, professionally? And he said, yeah. So, you know, thinking back, it's 2001. That's when I graduated with a diploma in bachelor's of science, exercise and sports science, with an emphasis in fitness and a concentration in strength and conditioning. So I don't know if that would set it off as my professional endeavor. And I think to some degree, I guess that's the landmark. So if you look at that, I mean, it's been over 20 years. Now I did it as an enthusiast from like junior high on, like most people. In this industry, you know, we've been playing around with the weights a little bit. We've discovered strength training and exercises that help us out, help our performance in athletics, just help us feel better physically, emotionally, with the self-esteem. But, you know, it's like, I wasn't, even though I was a professional, quote unquote, I always like to tell people, and I've mentioned this on the podcast before, that the worst trainer in the world was me right after college. So even though, quote unquote, professional, I had no idea what I was doing. You know, college, I hate to say it, college did not set me up. What I do now, what I know now, is not because of the thousands of dollars that I invested in a 4-year degree. Do I say I regret that experience? Not necessarily. You know, it actually, you know, it led me on the path. So if I didn't endeavor in that, I don't know where I would be. I don't think I would have ended up being kind of into fitness as much as I was, and especially attempting to make a career out of it early on. So there's always that. But at the same time, there's the education component, but I think we need to do better in the industry in, if vetting is the word, but lifting up our young trainers, giving them more tools to use, which of course all they have to do is go to a DVRT certification and be open to it and practice it. And that will, whether they continue on hardcore DVRT like we are here at Fitness Line Down, I am guaranteed that anybody that's exposed to DVRT is open to it and at least spends a good 12 months practicing DVRT will end up starting to think for themselves. They'll be curious about things, and then they'll question things as well. So when somebody comes in and talks about an exercise, there's going to be a little bit more background in their experience, that it's not just a superficial, okay, well, that exercise, you say it looks cool, it works, well, I'm going to start doing that on the clients that I train. There's going to be a little bit more of a skeptic, but not a critical skeptic in regards to negativity. It's like an optimistic skepticism. And that's just education. I say this to all the people that I meet in all walks of life, that when you get the degree, that's just the beginning. You know, people think that when they get their degree, their diploma, their certificate, whatever it is for that next level, it's almost like, hey, I graduated, I'm done. And it's no, that door is closed. A bigger door is open. More responsibilities. You know, I feel like Uncle Ben there in the Peter Parker Spider-Man comics, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, right? But it's true. I mean, we watch over people on the training floor. Number one thing is do no harm. How are we doing in the industry? I think sometimes we really fail our clients because we are doing harm. And it might not be an injurious harm then and there at the moment, but we're giving them exercises that aren't going to be beneficial for them, for their goals, better yet, for longevity and sustainability. We're trying to just give them that short, quick fix, quick hit, if you will, of rock 'em, sock 'em. Like, punch you in the face with these exercises, you're going to leave like you just got done with like 9 rounds with Mike Tyson, and we're going to expect that you come back in 2 days and do that again. What a tragic way to do fitness. So that's why I started kind of thinking about, I don't know, for some reason, it was like recently in my head, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I was thinking to myself, okay, that's really important. You know, it's very important and some important documentations in this nation. But how does that mean in regards to the fitness arena? And so I'm going to kind of reflect on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness when it comes to strength training, whether it be on the training side of the floor or the client side of the floor. And let's just start first with life. Life is so important. I mean, these are inalienable rights, right? I mean, we were not bestowed these rights on any man, by any man. These are things that cannot be taken away from us. So life is so important. But when we get to the training floor, well, like, what's life in the training floor? You know, for me, it's about the quest of betterment, right? Our lives are not meant to be complacent. We're not meant, we're not created to just be okay being okay. We're always trying to be better. Now, those different levels, like, this is the beautiful thing. That's why I love working with human beings, is the uniqueness of every human being that comes in. Everybody's on their own journey. And it's an amazing industry. I have an amazing profession to meet these people where they're at and to be a part of the process of the journey to help them get better. And unless we start really realizing that we can make these changes as fitness professionals, we're still going to be looked at as a joke. And so I just think about these people that come in, and to be alive is not to be just merely existing. Existing is not really doing much, being happy where you're at and not striving for that next rung on the ladder. And to also make sure that that rung, that ladder that you are climbing, is the right ladder. Sometimes we give ourselves a ladder, we climb up all the way to the top of that ladder, and guess what we find out? It was the wrong ladder. We are not happy. Now, pursuit of happiness comes a little bit later. So we have to always be discerning what ladder we're climbing. And if it's the fact that, like, it's not my ladder, well, climb on down. Get on the next ladder. Let that experience help you on your way. And it's difficult to be like, oh, okay, Corey's always sunny side optimist and positivity. And actually, if you know me very well, I'm not the most positive of people. I'm very realistic. But I also understand that there's got to be an outlook on life. You know, one of the favorite quotes that I like to hold on to is that your attitude, not your aptitude, will determine your altitude. And my kids hate it when I say this. And, you know, at first they're like, what does that mean? And then, of course, when I explain it to them, they realize, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. It's a hard pill to swallow, to realize that sometimes it's your attitude that keeps you from being alive. And maybe it's also the people that you surround yourselves with, that it's their attitude that becomes infectious. And if that attitude is of a negative nature, what do you think is going to happen to yourself? You're just going to start being a little bit more negative. You're going to be a little more pessimistic. You're going to start seeing the glasses half empty instead of half full. So you always need to surround yourselves with people that are going to lift you up. Ultimately, that's going to be the recipe for success. And what I like is, of course, it's nice to be around like-minded people, but we need that variety of people. Right, I just can't be in an echo chamber where everybody believes everything that I believe and that there's no pushback on my beliefs, my thoughts. And even if there's pushback, can I defend where I stand? And so many times I find out that pushback, I'm like, okay, I got to rethink this. Maybe you're right. Maybe I didn't see it that way. Maybe I do need to take a different point of view on this. This is all part of what being alive, life. And so when we come to the training floor, I want to provide that experience. I ask that our coaches are along for this ride to help with everybody that comes in. Whether the people come in cheery or gloomy, that we can meet them where they're at. And if they're gloomy, I'm not the one to try to pep you up and, you know, fluff up your feathers and get you to be like happy, cheery. Because I think there's an insincerity to that. I don't think it's very realistic, because we don't want that. Emotions are real. So if somebody comes in and they're not happy, and maybe they're grouchy, maybe they're angry, maybe they're sad, these are real emotions. Why are we trying to falsify and put lipstick on that pig to make you more happy? Now, again, attitude all the time. So if I can just meet them where they're at, give them the exercises, allow them to be successful. And that's what we've talked about ad nauseum on this podcast program, is the fact that we're always trying to meet people where they're at and make these changes at the line. So it might be a big session for somebody that day, and they come in and they've got low energy, they're angry, they're cranky, whatever's going on. Maybe I don't want to go with some of those progressions. Maybe I'm going to go back to some of the more foundational kind of, I don't want to say easy, because there's nothing really easy about what we do, but more stable holding positions, more stable body positions, so that our clients, especially the ones that are a little bit down in the dumps, can have success. And as they build that success, maybe that attitude starts changing, right? They become a little bit softer. You know, they're not so hardened, not so calloused with that emotion. Because those emotions, you know, it's always like, I think about, it's like roller coasters. I mean, all the time. We're never just one steady state of being. And a lot of times I've realized in my short time here on Earth that a lot of times we can't even explain why we feel something sometimes. I'll be honest, around my house, there's just days where I'm like, I'm super annoyed. And I don't know why I'm super annoyed. Well, but then I start peeling back the onion layer, and it's just like, it's a selfishness thing. There's something that happened to me that I feel perturbed about, and that annoyance, it's like, I'm just, anything that my family does, whether they're trying to make me happy or whatever, it's just like, it kind of is nails on a chalkboard for me. So being alive is not being fake, right? I mean, you have to own the emotions. You have to realize, like, I'm not happy right now. I'm actually a little angry. Why is that? You know, do we ask that question? And do we allow ourselves to be open to new experiences to help us? Now, sometimes we just have to discern, like, is this the time for me to be open? Like, I'm really raging right now. I could really scream at somebody. Is this the right time to have a conversation with somebody? Probably not. You know, I'm always thinking about when you make a decision, right? There's the halts. Hopefully I get this right. don't ever make a life-changing decision if you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, or sick. So, I mean, coming to the gym is a big decision. Are you hungry? Are you angry? Are you lonely? Are you tired? Are you sick? Now, some of those actually might be, the gym might be a cure. And I'm not just saying like the gym to go and, you know, de-stress, take your aggression, your emotions out on a sandbag or kettlebell. The social atmosphere of the gym can really help to lift somebody up as well. So, I mean, I think about that saying that always says, you know, I'm really glad I skipped that workout, said no one ever. So just being open to that experience, like knowing, hey, today's not going to be a stellar day for me in the gym. I'm going to let my coaches know about this. I'm going to come in and I just want to move a little bit. And maybe I don't want to talk to anybody. And I will be honest, for a lot of the clients that come in, you know, you just tell, they don't want to talk to you. I mean, it's nothing personal. And that's one thing we have to step aside in our professional way of being. Stop taking things so personally as fitness professionals. People just have emotions. They don't want to talk to you. Fine. Here's your exercises. I'm still going to coach you, but I'm not going to give you the small talk. I'm not going to try to fluff you up and make you laugh or anything like this. You got to know the people. But then how many times do I see, like, towards the end of the session where it's like, all right, that client actually starts becoming a little bit lighthearted. You just see maybe a little smirk. Maybe they're starting to sing the song a little bit that's on the radio. Maybe they're just, you know, maybe they come out and tell you, like, yeah, I'm sorry I came in such a crab. It's like, it's okay. I'm so glad you came in. They're like, I don't care how you come in. As long as you come in, we're going to take you, right? So this is all part of the life experience and how training can improve your life. And it's not, you know, I've said this. I say this to all the young students that I talk to at UW La Crosse. It's fitness. A lot of the things that we do in the fitness industry, it's really not about exercises. It's not about sets and reps. It's about that trust. It's about building relationships. And I desire to build relationships with all of our clients that come in. Now, I don't want to make it sound like creepy, stalky Corey. Like that sounds a little creepy, right? It sounds like a Sarah McLachlan song. But I do. I want that trust factor between our clients. I feel so overjoyed and grateful that our clients come in and they actually pay us. How insane is that? They pay us to put them through exercises. And it's something that, yes, they could go online. They could check out things and do things by themselves. Is it adequate? Is it correct? Are they going to get the bang for their buck? I just passed a sign today from a Planet Fitness. I'm going to call it out, Planet Fitness. And it said the best value in town. I was thinking to myself, is it value or is it cost? If you're going to go cost, then it's probably the quote unquote best cost in town. You've got the lowest rates. Doesn't mean it's valuable. It tends to be that those things that are a little bit more valuable tend to have a higher price tag. And that's okay. And that, you know, and I think we're pretty competitive for our area market when it comes to like a boutique gym. You know, we're not outrageous. We might actually be a little bit on the lower end compared to some of the other gyms in town that offer the services that we offer. And I'm okay with that because I want to be accessible for people. I don't want this to be outrageous in price. I want them to be able to experience this kind of training. Because here's the thing about life too. And it's kind of funny that I want people to experience this. I want them to be able to afford this. You know, some people, man, bless our clients' hearts. There are clients that have to make a sacrifice to do this. They might have to say no to something so that they can have the money to say yes to this, because this is a little bit of a higher priority for them. I'm grateful for that. But I was at, I think I mentioned this before, I was at my son's career fair late last month in February. And so I talked about, I think in this podcast, I mentioned the fact that for a fitness professional to go to a career fair and talk about being a trainer, personal trainer, coach, whatever you want to call us, how cool is that? But I also told the students, you know, there's like shifts. So like you'd get like six kids, they would move to the next thing. You know, you got 15 minutes with them. You talk about your career, whatever, how you get there, you know, whatnot. And I mentioned, like, I looked around the room and I had this kind of like thought before anybody came and sat down in my space. And I just looked around the room and we had some quality professionals. We had other parents that had great careers. great things that they add to the community, to the economy, you know, I mean, on the macro level, to the world. So, I mean, we have people that own car dealerships. We need automobiles. You know, we want to trust the person that we're buying cars from because it's quite the investment. We had attorneys. We had law enforcement. We had engineers. We had digital, you know, IT people, all these different professions. And then it hit me that all these professions are important, yes, but at some point, they're going to need me more than I'm going to need them. Now, again, I'm going to need law enforcement probably to, you know, make sure that my community is safe. I'm going to need the car dealership because I'm going to need a car at some point. I want somebody that's going to give me a fair price and is going to be honest with me. I'm going to need IT people because the world becomes more digital. I'm going to need attorneys, all this, accountants. I need all that. But these people out there are going to need me to help them to continue to do what they do best because their bodies are going to start getting older. Their bodies are going to start feeling, I don't say worse, but their bodies are going to start feeling older. They're going to become aged, right? I mean, every year we age, we get another little aged year. And so they're going to be seeking my services. Now, I'm not saying like me personally here, Corey Fitness Line Down. It's great if they do, but they're going to be looking for how to reverse that feeling of being older, that they're stiff, their joints aren't as mobile, they're starting to feel weaker. Going up the stairs is more of a chore than it was before. They can't keep up with their kids when they're playing baseball, football, basketball, volleyball. So they're going to start looking, you know, they're going to do their Google searches. They're going to look for fitness, personal trainers in my area, right? They're going to be doing that a lot more than I'm looking for cars because that's the great thing about our industry is the fact that we see people a lot more than the car dealership sees me, than the police officer sees me, than the lawyer sees me, hopefully. So that's life. Now let's talk about liberty a little bit. So what's liberty? Now, I sometimes, you know, we're always talking about freedom, like America, we're free. But what does freedom actually mean? Because there are some people that might not be quote unquote free that actually have more freedom than some of us that are practicing freedom in a republic, a democratic republic like we are here, in a democracy. So I think when it comes down to freedom, now this, I don't know if it's my personal opinion. I mean, you could look at it this way, but I think this is a tried, true, and tested way. Freedom is not like the ability to do whatever you want to do. Like that's license. You know, I mean, you're not free to do something wrong, right? But you had the license to do that. You can choose to do that. And there could be a responsibility. There could be a consequence. As I always tell my wife and I tell our kids all the time, your actions have consequences both ways. If you choose to do something that you know is not right, there's going to be a consequence for that. If you choose to do something that's right and that builds you up, and you know, there will be a consequence for that as well. We like the consequences that we tend to benefit from more than the ones that we get punished by. So I just don't think freedom is necessarily to do whatever you want. So when it comes to the gym, to be like, hey, I'm going to just do everything today. I'm going to hit that machine. I'm going to do some cardio over there. I'm going to hit some free weights. I'm going to do some body weight things. Like I'm just going to put it all together and just mash it up and, you know, call that a workout. Well, okay. Are you free to do that? Sure. I mean, like, can you do that? Sure. But are you really free? Okay. And then I don't want to get into my like high, like soapbox and talk about morality and things. But I also don't believe that freedom is to choose the good over the evil. I don't think that's really a free decision, right? I mean, if all you have is two decisions, it's either good or bad, I don't see how that's freedom. I see that that's like actually less freedom. You don't have the right, you don't have the power to choose. You kind of are forced to choose if you want to stay with the good. I always like to say that freedom is always choosing the better part. So when you come in, or let's just say, let's not even say you're going to come in. Let's say I have a need to go to the gym today. Like it's been a week. It's been maybe a week and a half since I've been there. I just need to get back. I need to do some movement. That's a good. That's a very good good. But, you know, I've also want to go and volunteer at the shelter, you know, help somebody in need, do, you know, service hours. I would say that that's a better good. So to say that you're going to, quote unquote, skip your workout that day, and that you're the freedom, though you chose, I think you chose kind of the better good. Well, you also can have the option maybe that you can reschedule that session in your gym. We always have that ability here at Fitness Lying Down that you can go into your app, because everybody needs an app on their phone, right? We don't have enough apps on our phones, our mobile devices. And be like, oh, shoot, I have scheduled myself to volunteer today. That's a very important thing for me. This organization means everything. I need to keep giving back. Because I tell you what, when you give, you receive so much. I truly believe that. That it's like, well, okay, maybe let's see the other days of the week. How can I fit in that session? Oh, look at that. So you can actually choose. You could choose the better part for that day, but it doesn't mean that you're cashed out for the week. There's always an opportunity to move a little bit more. And what I love is that we give people even more freedom, because we'll get our clients that they'll send me a message beforehand and they'll say, life's not going good right now. I just don't want to go heavy with things. I don't want to do the workout I've been doing lately. I just think it's going to be too much for me. It's too much emotionally. I want one of the myofascial integrated movement sessions. I want more restorative things. I want lighter weights. Like, that's freedom right there. You're choosing the better good. You know that if you choose a good, which is like, hey, let's crank it out. Let's get a good session in, and, you know, build up some of that sweat. Of course, we're never reaching for that per se. But I mean, there is something about a high quality, like resistance training with some intensity. There's something good about that. But there might be even something better choosing a little bit lower intense that day. Something that just you feel a lot better leaving, and you're not going to have that regret later on of, oh man, now my neck is really bothering, my back, my upper traps, my shoulders, my levator scapula, all these issues, because I pushed it. I pushed it too hard, and it was like not right, because I've just got so many things in my brain. I couldn't stay focused on my session. I just gripped it and ripped it. Better good. So life and liberty, right? Liberty, just being, choosing the better part and being open about it. And your coaches, whoever they are, whether they're here at Fitness Lying Down or not, should be okay with these requests. And I know sometimes my heart goes out to clients that come in and they talk about being at another gym in the area, and they almost didn't have any freedom per se. Like, the coach comes over, whoever's running the session, and just throws a really heavy implement, kettlebell, barbell, dumbbell, whatever, puts this heavy implement in front of that person and says, okay, this is your weight today. This is what you're going to do, without knowing what's going on with that person, right? If it's a bad day, a good day, maybe they don't know enough about that person's like health history, that this person actually has low back issues. But because you told them to do this, and most people are pretty obedient on the training floor, I mean, they're willing to trust the trainer because we're the professionals, and all of a sudden they just go at that exercise with that weight and they injure themselves. So we need to allow clients to have that freedom to be their own advocate, right? To be their own voice, so that we don't injure them. We have to listen. We as trainers have to allow ourselves the freedom to open up and listen. Be more ears. You know, what's that saying that you have? How many ears do you have and how many mouths do you have? So two times more ears. So you need to be listening more than you're speaking. Obviously, that rule doesn't apply to me, especially during these podcasts. So life and liberty. Let's talk about the pursuit of happiness. Oh, everybody wants to be happy. And you know, it's funny that I think when you boil it down, every human being in the world, like, you just boil it down, like, what do you want out of life? And everybody wants to be happy. But I don't think anybody really knows. I should say, I think there's people that do know. Obviously, there's people that know. But I think a lot of people, they don't quite understand what that happiness means to them. Especially in this day and age with social media. We see so much of how people are happy online. You know, that if I just had the six-pack abs, I'm going to be happy. If my weight is at this certain number, I'm going to be happy. You know, if I can get back to that same body figure that I had when I was a senior in high school, even though I'm 53 years old right now, back then I was happy. I'm going to be happy if I do that, right? So we're always given these unrealistic things about how we can be happy. And happiness is another emotion. I do truly believe you have the inalienable right to pursue happiness, but it doesn't mean it's the pursuit. It doesn't mean you're going to be happy. It means that you may never be happy to that level that you think you're going to be. Same rule I had to give my kids is that I don't know if this makes sense, if it correlates with happiness. But my mom lives on this lake, and this lake is just, you could put up an empty hook in the water and you're going to catch a fish. Now the quality of the fish, right? Not so much, but kids love to catch. So then I take them fishing down in La Crosse, and we go to some of these rivers and streams and lakes, and you know, we spend a couple hours and there's not even a single bite. And the kids, you know, when they first experience this, because they're just imagining, as soon as I put my pole in the water, something's going to nab at it. Well, I had to teach them that the name of this game is not catching, it's fishing. So you're not always going to get something. But when you do, it's very exciting, and it keeps you on the other end of the rod longer, right? You get that bite. You're just like, ooh, I'm excited. I'm going to get another bite, you know, and it might be minutes, hours between bites, but you just remember, like, oh, I want to catch that fish. So I think that's when it comes to happiness. I think we have to be realistic, so we have to set goals. And I think it's very important that we ask professionals to help us with these goals. So whether it's Megan as a registered dietitian, that maybe your goal is weight loss, maybe your goal is weight gain, maybe your goal is how to have a better relationship with food. Well, how does that look realistically? Because we always have these skewed visions of how things are going to go. So it might be nice to have somebody that looks from the outside in to give us a little perspective. Because if anybody's like me, I usually have blinders on. I just see one thing and I don't see anything else. I'm just like, this is what I need. This is what I want. This is going to make me happy. And then when my wife comes in and starts talking to me about it, and even though it might irk me a little bit in the beginning, I start seeing that she's right. She sees it from a different point of view. Okay. And now my goals have become more realistic. Maybe it's on the training floor. You know, we're always trying to achieve these things that I don't think we have a lot of control over. Honestly, we don't have a lot of control on how much we're going to weigh, per se, in any given day. Hey. Okay, so sorry about that. Now, you know, we can get down to a certain number, possibly, but weight loss can be tricky. It can be finicky. And so what we kind of want to think about is not necessarily the number, but what are we going to do that we have the control over? So one of the biggest goals that we help people with is, like, give us in a month, in a quarter, how many sessions do you want to train, right, on the training floor? Now, nutrition is going to be a whole another thing. Megan, I don't know if she's already talked about goals from her Nourish to Flourish podcast takeover, but there's goals that you can set in the kitchen that are more realistic than I just want to lose weight, right? So a lot of people, they seek fitness out, and they seek fitness out for the reason that they think that exercising is going to be a help for weight loss, and it is a help, but it's a very small piece of that pie. And I say pie because today is March 14th, so I had to add that in somewhere. But what can we control? I think sometimes it can be sticky even going to bed, but giving yourself a range, like, I'm going to sleep, I want my goal to be 5 to 7 hours if you're not getting good sleep. I want my goal to be 6 to 7, 6 to 8, whatever. Like, what's a range that's realistic? And how do you work from that now? So you reverse engineer. Well, how am I going to get that? Well, what do you have to do to get to the point where it's like, I'm done for the night, I'm ready to start winding down to go to bed soon? It's so much easier to say than to do. I totally understand this. And I don't want to put undue pressure on people that's like, that all of a sudden gets stressed out, like, I need to go to bed. And then they try to force themselves to sleep. Because we know how that goes. So it's really tricky. But in that pursuit of happiness, to have a community to help you along. Because I don't think anybody can be happy on their own. I really don't think you can live a life of solitude and be happy. I mean, look at Superman. That didn't work out too well for him. I think, right? He needed Lois Lane and Jimmy. Was it Jimmy? I forget the newspaper that he worked at. I see it, though. I see the logo. I just can't put it there yet. But anyway, we're human beings. We're social creatures. We're social animals. We're not going to be happy being by ourselves. And if one thing taught us that, it was the year 2020, right? Being divided from people, family members, friends. Zoom is a great thing. I'm pretty impressed with Zoom and how we continue to use Zoom. But it doesn't compare to a community, to the human touch, it just doesn't. It really doesn't. To be in the trenches with a client on the training floor and just to be able to give them that high five, to be next to them and to be able to say, that was impressive. Way to do that lift. Like, the hands, the feet, all this stuff. Now, we can still say that in Zoom, and it might mean something, but there's just something about that relationship of being present. So I'm not knocking. I mean, we got a lot of Zoom clients. So glad that we can offer that service. And why do they seek that service? Well, freedom, right? and that life thing is they feel alive when they do this training that we do here, whether it's the DVRT kind of training or whether it's the myofascial integrative movement training, whether it's the sessions that they do with Megan and nutrition. This all helps them to be more alive and that freedom to choose. Like, hey, I can go join any gym here in my neighborhood and I'm going to have the community aspect, yes, and all this, but it's what Fitness Line Down offers that really, that's my higher good. I choose that. Grateful for our clients that do that. And now that pursuit of happiness, like we still try to make our Zoom clients, our virtual clients, feel just as part of the experience. And I think sometimes our virtual clients actually get a little bit more share of the experience than our clients that are on the floor. Because if I'm talking to a coach kind of on the side and I've got my pods in that I'm communicating to our virtual clients, they're going to hear that conversation. And maybe I should mute myself. They're going to hear some of the conversations I'm having with other clients. Now, I try to be careful about this. I don't want to say something that maybe shouldn't be heard by other ears. But there are times where it's just like, I can share a laugh more with the virtual clients because they're hearing some of the things I'm just randomly saying to myself as I get things going. So there's always that benefit, if you want to call that a benefit. But there you are. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And just remember with happiness, you're going to have days that are just glorious, right? I mean, you're going to have days where you're flying high. Nothing can knock you down. I think you have days where you just can't even drag yourself out of the house, can't drag yourself to the car. To get through the gym door is just going to take every piece of your lifeblood to get through. This is the human experience. And I just want everybody to know that we share in that experience as well. As trainers, I tell our trainers, I tell our coaches, hey, we don't have the luxury of having a bad day on the training floor. Trainers are only allowed to have great days and good days. That's it. We can't have bad days because we have to be there for the clients wherever they are. Could you imagine if a client came in all happy, cheery, and we're just having the worst day of our life and we let it show? That wouldn't go very well. So we have to, I don't want to say put on a face, but we just have to change that attitude. And always, and it's funny, I'll talk to our coaches about this, like even if we're having kind of a down in the dumps day, because whatever, maybe we just don't feel 100%. Maybe we didn't get good sleep because X, Y, and Z. So we're just kind of having these selfish moments where like, oh, it's so hard to get through. As soon as we start training people, as soon as we start giving people our energy, right? Then we get that energy back plus more. It's just amazing how the economy of that power of energy goes through with human connections and communication. It's a fantastic thing. So I just, not a lot of fitness talk today per se. And I wonder how many times I said per se today. I just wonder if we made that a drinking game. Gatorade, of course, or some kind of other electrolyte drink. How much more energized you'd be because you were drinking every time I said per se. But I am going to finish now. I really hope that you found this one to be somewhat useful, beneficial. We got some amazing guests coming up in the next couple weeks. Can't wait to get that going. Always love talking to people, whether they're in the industry, whether they're not in the industry. It's amazing. So if you yourself want to be a guest on the podcast, hey, let me know. Well, I'll talk to you. I don't think there's anybody I wouldn't talk to. All right. For all my friends out there, until the next time that we speak, Godspeed.